or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsor's fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get the Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Paul Spice, and we're going to be talking about his book, Global Warming a la Gore. And it's a fascinating book. In fact, we're going to be carrying it, mainly because there's really no good book out there on global warming that we have. And we do have a couple of it. We have a DVD. We have a four-tape set. But you need to have the information on global warming at your fingertips because it's one of the greatest scams of all time. And when you can show to people how the entire media is lying to them, once you can get this idea through people's minds that the media is controlled, then of course the question comes up, who's controlling it and why? And of course in the issue of global warming, it is an attack on the industrial base of America, because the purpose of this whole global warming scam a la Gore is to destroy the industrial base of this nation, because if we were to have to cut back as dramatically as is required by the Kyoto Protocol on energy consumption, we'd simply have to shut down energy, the production of electricity, and shut down our industries, and that would leave us with no industrial production. And why would anybody want to do that? Well, people like Al Gore and the people who surround him have a different worldview, and they believe in equality for common people like you and I. Of course, the elite will always have their big homes and their SUVs, and they'll certainly be able to consume tremendous amounts of energy, but they'll buy carbon credits, and of course, by so doing, then they will be able to neutralize their consumption of carbon, whereas you and I are in a position to buy carbon credits, and, well, we're just going to have to be hot in the summer, cold in the winter, and we'll have no jobs, because they will have destroyed the industrial base of our nation and transferred the wealth of this nation to other countries, which is they want. They want equality for everybody except for the ruling elite. Well, with that as the background, Paul, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
I appreciate the opportunity again.
How is the sales of your book going?
Still pretty slow.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can jack them up. We've bought some. We're going to be offering them to our ministry, and we'll be talking to you, I hope, on several occasions on our other programs, and get your message out. Now, how was it that you got involved in studying and then writing a book on global warming?
The initial impetus was two articles in the Time magazine. One of those was The Last Temptation of Al Gore, obviously referring to him as in the same context as some kind of messiah.
Right.
And the second one was a synopsis of his most recent book, The Assault on Reason. When I read both of those articles, I actually became disturbed enough to purchase his documentary and his book, The Assault on Reason. And when I had read both of them, I became alarmed enough about what I perceived was getting ready to happen to our country that I wrote this book as an overview to try and bring the facts to people's attention of what is getting ready to happen should that carbon cap and trade legislation that's pending right now before Congress should not be passed.
What you did, you went through his book, and basically he was just talking about, you know, these terrible people who were trying to control the population, how they're trying to use fear to get people to follow them. And of course, so much of what he said in his book, and you simply outlined his book, Al Gore's book, very, very, very well. And you point out that he's using all the techniques he talked about to frighten the American people into really believing we have global warming or climate change. We're going to have to talk about climate change now because we're probably entering another cooling period. This is the coldest winter we've had. But, of course, Al Gore can't admit he was wrong. Of course, 30 years ago, he was right. He was talking about moving into global cooling, the real threat of global cooling. Now he's talking about global warming. But all of this is to create fear to get the American people to give up their freedom. Would that be a fairly good analysis?
I think that's probably an excellent analysis. Fear is a form of power.
Would you like to cover some of the things that he said in his book that you commented on that really were entirely true? In fact, when you read his book, you'd think he was an honest man, unless, of course, you watched his documentary.
Well, actually, in his book, what he basically did is he started with simple truths and then and used a partial truth, and then from that used that truth to move into supposition and attack President Bush. So he wasn't entirely truthful in the book, but he did use some basic truths. For example, that when you use fear, he says that you are deliberately shortcutting the ability of people to reason, so that when you persuade them through fear, you've actually obtained a false consensus.
Right.
And those type of statements are actually very true. He also, for example, which I find actually somewhat amazing, he says in his book that using ridicule to establish a point does not belong in the forum of reason. But every time that he indicates somebody else's viewpoint in his documentary, he does so with sarcasm and belittles, and the audience duly laughs. And so, I mean, there's a number of almost all the points which you're aware of. What I actually did was, as I went through his documentary and summarized the points he was making in his documentary, I also pointed out in every instance how that what he had done in his documentary directly contradicted a truth that he had brought out in his book. It was an astounding, and you said he had learned quite a bit. I think he, in the process of researching that book, he learned enough to apply all of those techniques to destroy in the process of reason in any discussion of climate change.
Right, and so the book really has a lot of very, very profound things and very, very true things in it. And then, of course, it then begins to move over into supposition. And once he's got you agreeing with him, and that's the oldest technique in the world, is to say a lot of things that are true, and then you're nodding and you're agreeing with that. And then you begin to move people into things that really are true. But since they've agreed with so much of what you've written before, now they'll tend to agree with you as you move them away from a rational point of view and, you know, to follow your beliefs. Well, what about the DVD, the motion picture, for which, of course, Al Gore was given, at least in part, a Nobel Peace Prize, which just goes to show you that the Nobel Peace Prizes are as phony as a $3 bill they have been for 50 years. They're not given for excellence. Are they given for political purposes? And, of course, behind that is always the purpose of the elite for the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Oligarchy, the New World Leader. Al Gore hopes to be one of those people in the New World Leap. But they've got to frighten the American people. Oh, my goodness, we're going to die of global warming. Cities are going to be submerged. And we'll be back to this point here at the American Freedom Network.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. Join the Beth Messiah congregation and celebrate Passover 2008 in Messiah Yeshua. He brought us out to bring us in. Sunday, April the 20th, 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza, 10 East 120th Avenue in North Glen. Deadline for reservations is April the 13th. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. That's 1-800-205-6245. And hug Sameach.
Everybody with a yard probably has something buried in it. Perhaps a rawhide bone. The head of a talkie tabby doll that got too talky.
Baby, want a bottle?
Or a pet turtle that sadly didn't make it.
Sheldon, wake up.
There may also be buried pipelines. And even the best maintained pipelines can occasionally leak. So make sure you know the signs. For instance, if you smell unusual odors, gas or petroleum.
Yeah.
Hear a hissing noise. See bubbling earth or water. Vegetation that's dead or dying. Or a colorful sheen on water. And don't forget these hard-to-miss clues, like dirt being blown into the air. A frost ball in an open field. Or a flame coming from the ground. If you see any of these, don't investigate. And don't ignore it. Leave the area immediately. And call 911 or your pipeline company. For more on pipeline safety, visit atmosenergy.com/safety. Brought to you by Atmos Energy.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, I guess, Paul Speck.
Yes, sir.
And we're actually talking about his book, Global Warming, All the Gore, and it's an excellent overview. And so basically we're beginning to get into the motion picture because, of course, this really was an excellent means of using graphics. And, of course, television is a wonderful way to control reality, especially if you put and utilize material that just isn't true. And, of course, you bring out a lot of that in your book. Would you like to go into your analysis of the motion picture and what was wrong with it?
When I wrote A Climate Crisis a la Gore, what I had focused on in that particular book was actually errors in logic. And then errors in or fallacies in the way that the reasoning process was brought forth. When I went to the conference in New York, it was kind of interesting. I met a gentleman from England who had done a similar documentary, almost a parody of Mr. Gore's, and he had listed about 35 scientific errors in the document or in the documentary, and some of those errors are actually kind of incredible. And can I just mention just a couple of those?
Please do.
Okay, one of those was that Mr. Gore had said that the sea level would rise about 20 feet. It's kind of interesting. He I don't know where he got that from. The IPCC, which I have a number of problems with, besides my problems with Mr. Gore, but the IPCC, or the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change that the United Nations has put together, actually predicted 2.5 inches. Not 20 feet. So he only magnified that by an error of some 10,000%. He mentioned that Pacific islands were flooding and populations were evacuating. None have ever done so, and the sea levels are the same as they were 1,250 years ago. It said that CO2 drives temperature changes, and actually changes in temperature precede changes in CO2 by about 800 to 2,000 years.
I think that's such an important issue. And really, for our listeners, why would temperature changes precede CO2 level changes? Well, very simply, because the largest source of CO2 in the world is the oceans. They absorb CO2, and when it's cool, and then, of course, as it warms up, why they give off CO2. It's like having a bottle of a carbonated beverage. If you heat it up, when the top is on, it'll explode because the CO2 comes out of solution, and certainly that's what happens to the oceans. But you have the heating first, and then the increased level of CO2. And actually, Al Gore's chart showed that he knew that, but he didn't superimpose them. So he gave you the impression, if you look at his chart, that the CO2 precedes the warming, whereas in truth it follows the warming. He knew that. He was simply lying. But then what did you expect from Al Gore? Go ahead. Is that a correct analysis?
I'm very sure that he was well aware that what he was saying was not true.
Right.
I mean, there's no question. And the amazing thing is that no matter how much truth comes out on this issue, it doesn't seem to matter. And I mean, for whether it's an attack against the industrial base or exactly what is going on, there is no question that this is not about truth.
Right.
This is about control or loss of freedom. It's an amazing progression here. And that's really why I had written A Climate Crisis, Al Gore. I wanted to try to mobilize the American public because I don't think that Congress is going to back off unless they understand that losing our jobs is going to result in their losing their jobs.
Right. So the book Climate Crisis, Al Gore, really gives you an excellent overview of this whole global warming scam. Were there some other issues in this film that you wanted to cover?
There's actually a number of issues in it. He makes reference a number of times, for example, to the fact that we have a moral obligation for the sake of our children to stop polluting and such. In that film, there's a number of statements he makes. There's, for example, he shows himself standing by the river that runs behind his house. And he comments about how that we need to preserve this for our children, pass on our heritage. He's standing by a river, for example, that he owns an interest in a mine that is underneath his land that is polluting that river. There are just a number of incredibly hypocritical statements that are in there, and that's a disturbing thing if you compare the statements from his book to the statements in the film. It's really very difficult to tell who's talking. There's no correlation whatsoever between what he writes and what he says.
Well, he gives hypocrisy a bad name. He really is. But there really are so many, many things that Al Gore is doing. People don't understand. He is part of a small group of people that are intent upon destroying America. He was part of the group that met on the ship Britannia. It's a Royal British ship. Prince Charles called them together back in 1991 and 1992, and they met and they laid out the whole plan that was to be introduced at the Second Earth Summit in Rio in 1992 that led to the Global Biodiversity Assessment, which is a 1,150-page report published by Cambridge University Press that gives the master plan for everything going on in the world. You can get it and read it, or you can get my summary of it in my pamphlet on, or my syllabus on sustainable development. They want to markedly limit the world population down to 1 billion, unless, of course, we can move the people into a status where they live like Eastern European peasants. Then we could still maintain our population, but we would have to lower the living standards dramatically, get people out of their cars. That's why they're running up the price of oil. Get Sydney of people to cut back on using electricity. Of course, this is why they will not, of course, come up with cheap, efficient electricity with nuclear power. Everybody else in the world can, but not here in America, because they really do want to impoverish us. But why would they want to do that? That doesn't make sense, Paul.
I think that you'll find, Dr. Stan, that people who are poor are easier to control.
Right.
And I don't know a simpler way to put it than that. When you have all the power concentrated in the hands of a very few wealthy, they pretty much do whatever they wish to. They own the guns, they own the power, they make the laws. And those who are poor, when there's a certain amount of despair, then actually a number of things become easier, including a change in a spiritual direction. I mean, there's a very deep religious or spiritual aspect to this. And I just touch on it briefly in the book. I didn't want to scare anybody away thinking it was an overtly religious book. But more and more so, I'm becoming disturbed about the aspect that not so much the question of whether who's right or who's wrong, because if they were right, they would be willing to debate. People who know that they're right are willing to debate, and no one from that camp will debate anybody about the facts. But my question has been all along, in a country as educated as America, how could this blatant deception, which doesn't stand up to the test of logic or the test of science or the test of fact, how could it have succeeded as well as it has? And I think that's a deep spiritual issue. And I think it basically comes down to the concept of where it says that because we worship the creation more than the creator. And he turned us over to a reprobate mind, so we believe a lie and be damned.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. The thing is that they're even working within the Christian church today to try to, Christians for, environmentalism and the old idea that God created the heavens and the earth and we are to be the good stewards, and that's why we've got to go along with Al Gore and all of these problems. It's not that there is not pollution. There really are problems with pollution.
Oh, absolutely.
But the thing is that it's the very people who are creating the pollution who are demanding the solutions. In other words, they're creating the problem. They don't want a solution. They want to control us, and they want to use, the power of government to control every aspect of our lives, because every one of these environmental problems that we face, whether it be the decreasing numbers of salmon or the endangered butterflies, the solution is always a new series of government laws that'll take away the freedom of the American people. Well, what's the solution? How are we going to get the American people to understand this is a scam? Because, we hear this over and over again. Oh, my goodness, the polar ice caps are melting, and there's probably a truth to that. They're melting on Mars. They probably are melting here a little bit. We've had some global warming. The snows are disappearing from the Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa. That's probably true. In the summer, they always disappear. In the winter, they come back again, but there may be a little less snow than there was, because there has been at least some global warming, hasn't there, over the last 300 or 400 years?
Well, there was until this year.
Right.
We seem to have lost the one. We had 1 degree of less than 1 degree of Celsius of gain over the last 100 years since the last ice age. But that seems to have gone away. The overall temperatures have actually receded back to the 1900 levels this year.
That's why they're not talking so much about global warming as they are now about climate change.
Sure. I mean, if you've ever gone to a fortune teller, I mean, it's like a fortune teller telling you that you need to be extremely careful because today you're going to have to take a form of transportation.
Right.
So what? And so what we have is, if the global warming doesn't work and the global cooling doesn't work, then you say climate change, because it's pretty sure that from the time the sun comes up until noon, there's going to be climate change.
Right.
And, you touched on something a minute ago that I think was kind of important, because you said there really is things that we need to worry about. And to me, that's one of the biggest or the saddest things about this entire debate, is that we have spent $1.7 billion per year for research into global warming for the last 20 years. That is a lot of money. And had that money, for example, been put toward real problems, like, our dependency on oil, or reducing pollution, not CO2, because CO2 is not pollution, but actually reducing or put toward environmental concerns, and not by government funding, but put it in the hands of the free market system, so that products could have been developed under a grant structure, and again, not a recurring grant structure. That just leads to difficulties in and of itself. Had that money been put toward that instead of wasted, where would we be now?
Well, of course, the problem is that the whole infrastructure of our country is deteriorating, while we have spent over $2.3 trillion to other countries to help them build up their infrastructure and our bridges and our highways, and so much of the infrastructure of America is simply going to pot. And why would we have spent $2.3 trillion to other countries? And of course, most of it simply goes, to the, what's foreign aid but taking money from, poor people in a rich country to give it to rich people in a poor country. We've simply bought the support of the leaders of other countries throughout the world, so that they will go along with the agenda, the New World Order, the New World Religion, and the New World Leader, who will soon, I fear, be enthroned. Well, Paul, as you attended this meeting, tell us a little bit about the meeting, because certainly it sounds like many of the important people throughout the world were there, those who were trying to expose this scam. What actually happened? What was this meeting all about? How did you happen to be invited?
I was actually invited because of this book. The book had made its way into the hands of the Science and Public Policy Institute in Washington, D.C., and they had called me and asked if I would was coming to the conference. I told them that, frankly, I could not afford that. I would love to be there. They then called back and said, we will pay your expenses if you come. And I basically said, why? And he had made a comment. He said, why did you put Stand on the Gap Publications in the front of your book? And I said, well, it was a reference to a scripture, and he quoted the scripture to me. And he said, I just want to tell you, this is not an issue of science. This is a problem of spiritual wickedness in high places. I want you at that conference.
Well, so, yeah, obviously he's coming from a Christian perspective. We are the majority out there, ladies and gentlemen, of a pervasive field as a second-class citizen. And, of course, there is a spiritual force on the other side. This is what we have to do.
Remind everyone that the key to locating missing children is getting current information in the hands of your local authorities. Keeping recent photos of your child on hand is a must. Make sure that you know what your child is wearing when they leave home and have your child fingerprinted at an early age, because although children may change, fingerprints don't. That message courtesy of RDS Environmental at 1365 Forest Park Circle in Lafayette. Call 303-444-5253. That's 303-444-5253 for RDS Environmental in Lafayette, where Tammy and her staff are on the air because they care.
Everybody with a yard probably has something buried in it. Perhaps a rawhide bone. The head of a talky tabby doll that got too talky.
Baby, want a bottle?
Or a pet turtle that sadly didn't make it.
Sheldon, wake up.
There may also be buried pipelines. And even the best-maintained pipelines can occasionally leak. So make sure you know the signs. For instance, if you smell unusual odors, gas or petroleum.
Yeah.
Hear a hissing noise. See bubbling earth or water. Vegetation that's dead or dying. Or a colorful sheen on water. And don't forget these hard-to-miss clues, like dirt being blown into the air, a frost ball in an open field, or a flame coming from the ground. If you see any of these, don't investigate. And don't ignore it. Leave the area immediately. And call 911 or your pipeline company. For more on pipeline safety, visit atmosenergy.com/safety. Brought to you by Atmos Energy.
Stop living with pain. Discover MagnetiCare cell-activating liquid complex and RX magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting MagnetiCare liquid complex, cream, or RX magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net.
This is Ann Johnson. For 14 years, I've owned Brightside Natural Health. The prophecies of Revelation are being fulfilled at an amazing rate, and the kingdom of God is at hand. My passion is to follow God's command to heal the sick and share the reality of Jesus Christ. God faithfully shows me effective, life-changing products like Vital PSP. PSP helps the body heal itself the way God intended. God promises to be present in the midst of your storm. Stop the storm and enjoy God's abundant health. Call me at 303-833-2784.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, I guess this morning is Paul Spite, and we're talking about, his book, Climate Crisis, Al Gore, and he had been to this major meeting in the East, where, of course, he was invited, they paid his way, and, of course, the people there recognized the spiritual component of this. Well, basically, ladies and gentlemen, there's a spiritual component in everything going on today. Certainly, this whole environmental movement is motivated by spiritual forces and motivating people to utilize the supposed threat of global warming or of environmental contamination or of so many things. But the common solution is always more government control. And behind that are really very, very powerful spiritual forces, but they come from the other side. For indeed, we are involved in a battle between truth and falsehood, between right and wrong. We are involved in a battle against those that spiritual wickedness which exists today in the highest levels of our government. Well, Paul, what did you learn there at the conference? Certainly, were there any important speakers?
We had, I believe we probably had the top climate Scientologist. Probably if you named the most respected client Scientologist in the world, or climatologist rather, we probably had, of those, if you listed the top 20, we would have had 18 of them there.
There was Sally Balunas there.
Yeah, oh, yes.
And Fred Singer, of course. And
of course, yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, certainly all of these people we've had on our programs through the years, trying to get people to hear their message. These are the people who really know what's going on, not two-bit politicians like Al Gore. Well, not two bits. I mean, he's a very, very wealthy man in his own right. His family made their money from Armand Hammer, who was a communist agent, and of course, that's where Al Gore's father made his money in Occidental Petroleum, which was Armand Hammer's company. But anyway, go ahead.
There were also, like, for example, Václav Klaus, the president of Czechoslovakia, was there. And he was
talking. Václav Havel?
I'm sorry?
Is that Václav Havel, or who was it?
Václav Klaus.
Okay.
And he spoke to the group. It was basically two solid days of testimony on five different venues with seven major news outlets there. And most of them treated the conference fairly, but Mr. Klaus basically was talking about the parallels between this movement and the takeover of his country by communism and the incredible economic devastation that resulted first from communism and then second of all from Czechoslovakia joining the European Union and coming under the Kyoto Protocol. And basically he was saying, you know, do not let this happen to anybody else. And that was his message there. This is a bunch of nonsense. It has no meaning, and the human suffering and economic devastation that it causes is incredible. Put a stop to it.
And basically that's because when they joined the Kyoto Protocol, it basically shut down their manufacturing, didn't it?
What he said was, he said all of our heavy manufacturing disappeared virtually overnight.
And that's what they want to do to America, ladies and gentlemen. That's what this is really all about. It has nothing to do with global warming. It has nothing to do with, you know, creating famines because of global warming. Global warming will produce more food. In fact, the last warming cycle we had 1,000 years ago, why they were growing crops on Greenland, they were growing crops in northern Great Britain. We would have much more land for food production if we were warmer. They know that. They just don't want you to know it. They want you to think the sea level is going to rise 20 feet, or as I've seen in pictures that are in the classrooms, used in textbooks in our public schools, where you see New York. Well, you don't see New York. You only see the top of the Empire State Building there, because all the rest of the buildings are submerged by the massive rise of sea level. And those pictures have an impact on the minds of children, and they honestly believe the lie they're told. So, but the gentleman from the president of Czechoslovakia was there pleading with the people not to let this happen to America?
Or actually to put a stop to it on a worldwide basis,
right,
to use our influence to try and put a, which I find amazing, with Congress getting ready to pass this law, I'm thinking to myself, what influence?
Well, I think that the people in this audience ought to all the congressmen and say, look, do not go along with this. It is not valid science. You're being lied to, and you will be held responsible if this damages our industrial base. And believe me, we're going to let everybody know who lost their jobs because of you.
That was the message.
Congressmen don't even really understand what's going on. My fear is.
I think that Congress does understand what's going on. I don't believe that anybody looking at that documentary that has any degree of scientific knowledge at all could fail to mistake the gross errors that are in that documentary. I'm not a scientist, Dr. Stan, and that documentary highly offended me. Highly offended me. But I think, you know, we were talking about in one of the sessions there with economists, we were talking about the fact that they have these polls that show, you know, they'll take 20 polls as to whether or not America believes in this message, and then they'll take the one poll that best represents the viewpoint that they want. They'll publish the findings of that poll and say, you know, 73% of Americans believe in global warming and want Congress to do something about it. Now, we're going to ignore the other 19 polls. But what we're really doing, and I think, is that I believe that Congress needs for us to believe that they believe that we believe. I think it's a three-tier thing. As long as they can claim with a straight face that America believes in global warming, then it gives them a mandate to seize this power over industry, over individuals. You know, we talk about industry a lot, but that's just the top of a slippery slope. In Europe right now, they started with industry, and now they're proposing that carbon restrictions be put on churches, on commercial institutions, and on homes. Now, you talk about a legislative mess and a legal mess. When you start getting into where people can control how much heat you have in your home and what fuels you can burn in your home, you're going to have human suffering and death on a scale like you've never seen before.
But then, of course, if you go into the real background behind so much of what this is all about, it's about population control.
Yes, it is.
So many people in the world, we are using up their natural resources, and people like Al Gore resent that. I said he wants to reduce the number of people dramatically. What better way than to foster disease and deprivation? And really, they're even talking here in the United States about allowing the government to control the thermostats in the new homes being produced, so that you're not either too warm or too cold. You're just cold, warm in the summer and cold in the winter. And the government's going to tell you when you can turn on your heat. It doesn't make any sense, but that's exactly what these elitists want. They want to control us. They just don't want to have any control over their lives.
You know, you mentioned about the population growth. One of the things that Dr. Klaus brought out, the president from Czechoslovakia, he said, when you stop and you think about that, he said, carbon output is directly related to standard of living. I mean, you can't get around that. As the standard of living of a country increases in a direct line, so does their carbon output. So reducing the amount of carbon output that we emit would actually require us to do one of any three things. You'd have to either stop or actually reverse economic growth and lower the standard of living. That was about a 43% reduction in Czechoslovakia for the Kyoto Protocol.
And they were already rather poor to begin with.
They were in desperate trouble to begin with. The second item is we have to stop or reduce the number of people, because people produce carbon, you know, and the products that are made for them. Or third, have a miraculous decline in the emissions that we put out. And so far with Kyoto Protocol, 15 years of it, with almost every major industrial nation in the world participating, there has been no measurable decline in carbon output. And in fact, it has increased, though the goal of it was to decrease by 30%. So when you look at that, either we lower our being, because apparently we cannot reduce emissions intensity, then the only thing that's left is to tell somebody that they cannot have children, and it won't be the people making the rules.
No, sure, it won't be the Al Gores. He's already got a whole flock of kids. And, of course, the thing is that the Kyoto Protocol does not affect China. It's the greatest polluter in the world today. In fact, the Chinese government's shutting down a lot of their factories, you know, in the area where the Olympics are going to be, to try to get the air cleaned up before the Summer Olympics start. They are the greatest polluter in the world, and the Kyoto Protocol doesn't cover them. What does that suggest? Why? Because we don't want to restrict and destroy the manufacturing of China. We want to destroy it here in the United States. What about Europe? Well, of course, in places like France, they have nuclear power. We can't have nuclear power here because the government is, and the great oil companies have financed the environmental movement, and the environmental movement fights the introduction of nuclear energy. We haven't built a nuclear power plant in 30 or 40 years here in America. They're the safest form of power production. We're subsidizing, we're guaranteeing the loans on the power plants, that nuclear power plants that Westinghouse is building in communist China. We are subsidizing the loans that Westinghouse has used to build nuclear power plants in communist China. But the United States, which can subsidize the loans in China, can't will not allow the building of the plants here in the United States, because we don't know what to do with the nuclear waste. Well, we know what to do with it. You reprocess it, but the government won't allow them to reprocess it. They're creating the problem. They don't want a solution. They want the problem so that they can go into the Kyoto Protocol, so they can destroy our industry and impoverish our people. Would you agree or disagree with that?
That's quite a lot to agree or disagree.
Well, anyway, the thing is that they really do, or there are many, many people who do want to bring about these dramatic changes in energy utilization, which would have a profound impact on the lives of everybody, wouldn't it?
I believe that power, especially electric power, is the key to solving actually most of the problems. And I agree with you that nuclear energy, if you reprocess the fuel like every other nation in the world is doing, you wind up with about 2% of the nuclear waste, with a much shorter half-life than what we currently have right now. And that would make actually almost all these other questions obsolete, including the use of fossil fuels, because if you have cheap electricity, you can have electric cars and such. However, one of the interesting things, of course, about the use of solar is you'd said that government is not interested in solutions, and that's true, because if you have no problems, then you don't need any leaders to save you. And so it is never in the interest of leadership to actually come up with working solutions. It's in the interest of the American people, but it's not in the interest of the leaders. And that's a disturbing thing. Most of our environmental problems are actually, I believe, a direct result of legislation. I mean, take DDT, for example. You know, they had one or two studies that showed that a few people in the population had adverse reactions to DDT, so for the good of the population, we can't use that to control mosquitoes. And then, you know, several hundred million deaths later from malaria, the World Health Organization just said enough of this nonsense and started using DDT again. So we create these solutions supposedly for the good of a few that have terrible impact upon the vast majority of people. But it's, you know, as long as there's a problem, then people will surrender freedom and they'll surrender their rights in order for somebody to save them. And I think that I do agree with you that that's the point.
And I really think that it's so vitally important that our listeners get the information and help us disseminate it. It's all a lie. But, of course, Al Gore has an agenda, and that's the thing. Until people understand that, and then, of course, he's lauded by the media, and he gets the Nobel Peace Prize, that gives legitimacy to his fallacious argument. What a tragedy the Nobel Peace Prize is utilized for political purposes aimed at destroying peace and prosperity here in America. Well, what are the... Sydney, if we look at the motion picture, were there some other points in the motion picture that you wanted to bring out?
you don't have enough time.
Well, yes, we still have about 5 minutes to go, so do the best you can. 4 minutes
just
to go.
Just for example, I mean, just total nonsense. Yeah, this whole business with the polar bears. I want to bring out two things if I can.
Sure.
No business with the polar bears dying because they can't find ice, because the ice is melting. When a British high court, in the process of ruling that this documentary was not fit for consumption by their children unless someone was there to tell the kids where all the lies were, I mean, literally, the school systems in England lost a lawsuit, and they're not allowed to show this movie to their children. We can show it to ours, but they're not allowed to show it to theirs. There's no record of any polar bears dying anywhere. To back that up, there were four polar bears that drowned in a terrible storm. That's pretty much it. So you have nonsense like that. But I want to point something out that actually was not pointed out. I'm an architect by trade, and I'm well aware of the properties of ice because they destroy buildings that I design if I allow water to get in places where it can't get back out, and it freezes, and it expands, and it blows off chunks of buildings and widens gaps and so on and so forth. In the claim that melting ice would raise sea levels by 20 feet, that was one of the things that caught my attention, because he gives an analogy of ice cubes in a glass, but I'd ask your listeners to do a real simple science experiment. It would be called to fill up a glass with ice and then fill it the rest of the way up with water and mark the level on the glass. Then let the ice melt. You will find that it does not increase the water level. It decreases it, because water expands when it freezes, and then when it melts, it occupies less space than it did when it was ice. So if you look at his claim about melting ice caps, the truth is, if all of the ice that's in the water, in the Arctic and Antarctic and Greenland and wherever else he claims melted, ocean levels would decrease drastically. So it is important then that the ice on the land also melt, so that the water running in off the land would keep the water levels where they're at, which coincidentally lines up perfectly with a scripture that says that God determined the boundaries of the ocean and the land. So we have actually very accurate science in the Bible that matches perfectly what is happening, because with 100 years of ice cap melting, the levels haven't changed. And what he also doesn't mention is that while the Arctic is decreasing in size, the Antarctic is increasing in size, because it's as cold as there as it's been for 100 years. And so you have all these different aspects of science and logic and everything coming into this thing, but it's still the centerpiece of science's claim that the American people believe it, and that's why they're going to pass these laws to take away our freedoms. And that's the gist of what I had written in A Climate Crisis, Al Gore, was I said, when you get all this data, please call your congressman, because if they get 1,000 calls, every congressman gets 1,000 calls saying, you had better not be voting for this nonsense, I guarantee you that they'll put their self-interest ahead of the interest of whoever these people are, because they like power as much as whoever's driving this.
Amen to that. And certainly they do respond to the calls and faxes and emails. So, ladies and gentlemen, your job is to call your congressman. Do we know what the number on the bills are?
I don't have that information.
Right,
next time I talk to you, I'll get it.
The legislation dealing with the environment, with climate change, with global warming.
It's the Lieberman-Warner bill, isn't it?
The Lieberman-Warner bill. Tell them, vote no on Lieberman-Warner. It's up to you. Paul, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you. We'll look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245, KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Join the Beth Messiah congregation and celebrate Passover 2008 in Messiah Yeshua. He brought us out to bring us in. Sunday, April the 20th, 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza, 10 East 120th Avenue in North Glen. Deadline for reservations is April the 13th. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. That's 1-800-205-6245. And hug Sameach.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation. We do carry the book, Climate Change, Al Gore. It's not expensive, paperback. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set on climate change, on global warming. We have an excellent DVD put out by our good friend, Dr. Michael Kaufman, on global warming. So with that, you'll have a pretty good background on what this is all about, what the scam is about. Of course, it's all part of a much bigger program called Sustainable Development. We have a DVD on that, a four-tape set, and probably the syllabus is one of the best syllabuses we have because it takes into the whole background. It gives you the summary of the Global Biodiversity Assessment, the summary of the Earth Charter, which gives you the whole Earth Charter. It gives you the World Bank water policy, the my treatise on population control, the population control agenda, takes you into the background of the Georgia Guidestones, and then, of course, really the writings of Maurice Strong, who actually told a reporter that he had this recurrent dream of how a group of very powerful industrialists were going to get together and destroy the economic system of the world. Because that's how they were going to destroy civilization that was destroying the environment. They were going to destroy the industrialized world. And, of course, that's what global warming is really all about. It is an effort to use fear, create fear of global warming, to get the people to go along with something which is entirely insane, and that is the deindustrialization of our nation. But then, of course, that's the major plan anyway, to transfer our wealth and manufacturing to other nations. If you haven't read the Earth Charter and you order any of our products, please just ask for a copy of the Earth Charter. We'll send it along. So we're talking about the book, Climate Change, Al Gore, the DVD, Global Warming by Michael Kaufman, the four-tape set that we put forward on global warming, and then, of course, the DVD on sustainable development, the syllabus on sustainable development, and certainly the four-tape set on sustainable development. You really need to understand that these things are there. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're plotting on how they're going to manipulate the American people into voting themselves into poverty, and certainly with that, of course, increasing social unrest in this country. But don't you worry. They have a plan in case there's social unrest. They have concentration camps there. If you haven't seen our concentration camp four-tape set or the video, America Behind Barbed Wire, or you can get the concentration camp special that has the videos. Actually, it has the amazing clips. You'll see the Iran-Contra hearings, where, of course, Congressman Jack Brooks tries to bring out the fact that there is a plan to suspend the Constitution and round Americans up and put them into those concentration camps, and Senator Inouye repeatedly intervening because they don't want the American people to know the plan. Of course, the law, if you get the concentration camp special, you'll get our other material, the material on the use of civilian inmates in military camps. They have it all planned out. And if you don't believe that they've actually are going to give a subsidiary of Halliburton, it's called KRB, $385 million just to stand by to build concentration camps. That was January of 2006. Go up and Google it in, or if you need it, call us 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Ask for the documentation on Halliburton and the concentration camp.
Want to talk to the American Freedom Network? Contact us at P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmericaNewsNet.com. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs.